Father God, I thank you for the foolish moments in our lives that we can all laugh together and enjoy laughs. But God, I do thank you that in this book of Proverbs, you are really talking to us about the wise and the fool and giving us really great wisdom. And even in this Built series we're doing at Summer Shepherd Groups, God, I think you're just pouring into everyone here, God, students, leaders alike, the wisdom in our lives, God, how your wisdom is good that we seek to live by. So I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so open up to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. We're going to be in Proverbs 31, verses 1 through 10. 1 through 9. Proverbs 31, 1 through 9. So, if you got it, open up Proverbs 31, 1 through 9. Today, I'm talking about, the title I gave today's message is Wisdom on Leadership. It's going to be an interesting take on leadership. It's not your typical when you think of leadership, but I'm calling it Wisdom on Leadership, and you'll get what I'm saying. All right, is everybody there? Proverbs 31. So we're going to start out in verses 31, 1 through 2. And it says this, the sayings of King Lemuel, the oracle which his mother taught him. What, O my son? And she says, what, O my son? And what, O son of my womb? And what, O son of my vows? So that's like, when I first started studying for this, I like quickly read over that. And I was kind of like, okay, like it's this mother talking to this guy, King Lemuel, and she says some weird stuff like son of my womb. Mom's never called me that, you know, so I was like, this is kind of weird. And, but then I started thinking about it and did a little bit of study on this. So this guy, King Lemuel, we don't really know that much about him. He's not talked about anywhere else in the Bible, you know, except at the beginning of the chapter, what I just read, we know that he was a king who received wise teaching from his mom. But it was really interesting. One commentator, I read a couple different commentaries on this, but one commentator said that he actually believes that Solomon also wrote this chapter. And the reason being because the name that God gave to Solomon in 2 Samuel 12:25 is this name Jedidiah, which means beloved of the Lord. So if you look it up, 2 Samuel 12:25, it will say that God gave Solomon the name Jedidiah, which means beloved of the Lord. The name Lemuel means devoted to the Lord. Devoted to the Lord. So this commentator that I read is J. Vernon McGee. He kind of guessed that this is actually sort of like, you know, all of our moms kind of have that like pet name for us, right? You guys can all think of it. That sort of that pet name she has for us. And this commentator thinks that this is actually possibly Bathsheba, who is Solomon's mother, who David basically committed adultery with and had the son Solomon. He believes that this is actually Bathsheba that gave these words for King Lemuel. So it's not like, we don't know, this is just what that commentator said, but I thought it was kind of interesting to think about it in that frame of reference, because you kind of get it when you think about Solomon, Solomon's dad is David, you think about how things worked out, how Solomon even came to be, and so I think his mother's kind of coming to him and saying, I want to give you some wisdom as a son of mine, but he's going to get into it more that he's a king. In the beginning, the mother's saying, look, I need to say something really important to you because I see some of the characteristics of your father, David. If it's true that maybe this is Bathsheba writing this, father's David, I think he's saying, I see some of the characteristics of your father, David, in you both for good and for bad. And she sees the temptation that Solomon is facing and wants to help him. You know, she's calling him. It's this motherly tone. Think about it. Like, she's calling him. She's saying, this is my precious boy who I've dedicated to God. And think about some of your parents who love you. If they were kind of to sit down and say, there are some things that I want to tell you because of how much you mean to me, because you are of my blood, I know you. I know the things you will struggle with because of me. So she makes it clear to Solomon that he has a very special responsibility, because what she says in verse 4 is this, it is not for kings, O Lemuel. So again, that gives us a frame of reference. It's a mother talking to a son, but then go a little bit further, and she calls him king. So she's saying to him, you're not just any ordinary person. You're a king. And that matters. When you get where you come from, when you get who you are, when you realize, because sometimes where we come from, we can sometimes use as like, well, I'm no good because I came from this or I came from that or the things I've done, I'm no good. But she's saying, you are a king. So at this point, if this is Solomon, King Lemuel, as he's hearing this from his mother, he's thinking and he's realizing now, I have a role. I have a purpose. And my identity in life And he's going to take this identity and take his mother's words to apply them to his life. So it's important for in the beginning to go, why is she even writing this? Who is this kingdom mule that she's writing to? Because you got to know, if you know who you are, if you know your identity, then that is then going to transform into how you live your life out. Because a lot of times we believe so many lies about ourselves, about what other people said about us, that when we hear wisdom, we're like, oh, who cares? I've never ever learned it before. No one before me has ever done it. I'm not going to live it. But all of a sudden we go, I'm a king. I have a purpose. Kingdom Mule goes, let me listen to what my mom is saying. So then my question is, what about you? What about your identity? Because if I don't first start here and go, who are you? If I went around to each and every one of you and I was like, who are you? What makes up you? How do you think about yourself? That all matters to how you take even the wisdom that we've been talking about in here on Sundays and how you apply it to your life. So today, what I'm going to do is, I don't usually do this, but I'm actually going to go through a lot of verses because I think some of these verses are going to back up what Proverbs is saying. So the first place I want to start is, if King the Mule knew his identity as a king and that he was David's son, if this is really Solomon, whoever it is, it doesn't matter, that he was a king, he had a purpose, then it should matter for what is our identity. So the first verse I want to go to is Psalm 139, 13 through 16. And this is your identity. This is who you are. So if you're not listening, look up at this screen and read this with me. This is who you are. Psalm 139, 13 through 16 says, For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. The psalmist is talking about God. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. This is important. If this is what God wrote about you, some of you in here are like, I don't matter. The way I look, it stinks. I don't like the way I look, the way that I act, where I came from. God says, look, I get all that. But what I can tell you is I know you. I ordained you. I created you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. If you take that in and you begin to believe that, that's going to change your whole perspective on who you are. Next verse, Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. And this is written, obviously, God saying this to the prophet Jeremiah, but the application here is God's calling him out and saying, you are special. I have created you as a prophet to go to the nation of Israel and declare things to them. God doesn't mess around when he makes us. God says, I have a purpose for you. Just like King the Mule was a king for each of you, there's a purpose. You have a purpose. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6 says this, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. We are adopted as sons and daughters of God. That is who we are. I mean, I know we hear that a lot, and so we're like, eh. But if we're going to really understand the wisdom that God has to give us in the book of Proverbs, we got to realize how much God cares for us. Because if we realize how much he cares for us, then we take the wisdom that he has and we say, this is good wisdom. This is good advice for my life. This is good stuff that God is giving me. So I'm going to end with this last verse. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are chosen people, a royal priesthood, holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into wonderful light. I love that, a royal priesthood. I don't think I really want to be called a priest because that sounds kind of weird to me, but the fact that God says, look, we all, if we are believers, if we have trusted in Christ alone, we are a royal priesthood. That is cool. He said that you're a holy nation, God's special possession. So look, if this is your identity, if you take these truths in, you go, this is who I am. This is really who I am. This is what God says about me. This will change the way you view yourself. And if you view yourself as a son or daughter of God, if you view yourself as special to God, having a purpose, then how you act and live matters. Do you get it? If your view of how God views you changes to what he believes, and you view yourself as a son or daughter of his, special to God, then you realize you have a purpose and how you act and live matters. And that's what Solomon's, or King the Mule's mother was saying to him. You are a king. You are special. You are my son. Therefore, the way that you live matters. And that's why I'm telling you this special wisdom, and this special advice for your life. And the deal is that God sees each and every one of us. This is why this is called wisdom on leadership. God sees each and every one of you as lights to the world. Like, do you get that? That God sees you wherever you are, whatever team you're on, whatever club you're in, whatever school you're in, whatever house you're in. God says, I see you as a leader there. And a leader, not just in the worldly sense, but as a light to the world. You have a great responsibility. And the thing is, I think sometimes we take that responsibility up, you know, and we go, it's too much. Like, I don't want that burden. I don't want to have to be kind of that light to the world. Instead of taking it like that, what if you go, I could see that God has a great purpose for me. And we can be excited about it and passionate about it because we realize, man, we're talking about the one thing. We're being a light for the one thing that matters most, that goes into eternity, that doesn't stop here. So you are a leader. You are an ambassador, whether you know it or not. And so here's the deal. I'm teaching you today from God's word because I believe that because you're a leader, because you're an ambassador for Christ, whether you know it or not, leaders need to know how to lead. Leaders need to know how to lead, and that's who you are. So Solomon's mother is giving him advice from she's years in the past, and she's seen it. She can see the overall view, and she's saying, having this perspective, knowing the things I know about you, knowing the things that might trap you, instead, I want you to be able to lead well as a follower of Christ. And so the first thing that she gets into is in verse 3. She says, do not give your strength to women or your ways to that which destroys kings. So I want to go through a couple more verses and help you understand this. Deuteronomy 17:7 says, he must not take many wives or his heart will be led astray. He must not accumulate large amounts of silver and gold. So this is Deuteronomy, the second giving of the law. And God's laying out the Israelites, the priests, don't let them take many wives. Because that will ultimately destroy them because they will be led astray by that. This is going all the way back to Deuteronomy. And so his mother's saying it again. 1 Kings 11, 1 through 4. This is interesting. King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughters. They were Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians and Hittites. They were nations from about which the Lord had told the Israelites, you were not to intermarry with them because they will surely turn your hearts after their gods. Nevertheless, Solomon held fast them in love. He had 700 wives, wow, of royal birth and 300 concubines. I mean, that's just like, I love my wife, but two would be like, what? Nevertheless, Solomon held fast them in love. So, and his wives led him. Here's the deal. His wives led him astray. And this is where I think it's sad. It says that as Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord, his God, as the heart of David, his father, had been. And it continues on. He followed Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. So Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did not follow the Lord completely, as David, his father, had done. On a hill east of Jerusalem, Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the detestable god of Moab, and for Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. He did the same for all his foreign wives who burned incense and offered sacrifices to their god. The reality is, it says that Solomon was the wisest guy in the world. How did the wisest man in the world that got his wisdom from God, how did he end up here? How did he end up building altars to false gods and having over 700 wives and concubines? It's because He gave his strength to women. It's interesting that the book of Nehemiah even talks about David. It says, in those days, I also saw that the Jews had married women from Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab. As for their children, half spoke in the language of Ashdod, and none of them was able to speak the language of Judah, but the language of his own people. So I contended with them and cursed them and struck some of them and pulled out their hair, making them swear by God, you shall not give your daughters to their sons, nor take their daughters for your sons or for yourselves. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin regarding these things? Yet among the many nations there was no king like him, and he was loved by his God, and God made him king over all of Israel. Nevertheless, the foreign women caused even him to sin. Do we then hear about you that you have committed all this great evil by acting unfaithfully against our God by marrying foreign women? The author's mother, King Lemuel's mother, knew the power women can have over men and how it can have an influence on kings and leaders. But you know, this ultimately extends to anyone. The broader application here, the overall application, is that really any relationship, it can be friendships, romantic, can become an idol and distract us from leading well and being the ambassadors for Christ. And this isn't to sit here to be a knock on relationships, to be a knock on dating. This is none of that. This is just to go, this Kingdom Mule's mother is coming to him and saying, look, if you want to lead well, if you want to be a king that leads well, you need to not give your strength to relationships because they will ultimately destroy you. And I think for your guys' culture, you know, we're in a culture right now of hookups. Commitment doesn't really matter. Anything goes. One which tells you, you need a relationship. I just want to encourage you, will you believe and obey God's good wisdom in the area of relationship? And so again, it's not to say that you should never be in a relationship. It's not to say that you should not be married. God's word says nothing like that. God's word says marriage is a good thing. God's word says that sex is a good thing. But as you look into the rest of high school, and as you look into some of you moving into college, what priority will relationships have in your life? Because what she says is don't give your strength. Don't give your strength to women. Because ultimately that's what happened to Solomon. Over that many wives and other women, they ended up taking his strength to the point where he said, fine, I'll do what you want. I'll build temples to you, to these idols that I don't even believe in. So my question is, in this area of relationships, do you need to realign your priorities to put God first and relationships second? Again, that could be friendships, romantic, dating, whatever it is. Do you need to realign your priorities? If you realize, I'm a son or daughter of God, I'm a royal priest, do you need to realign your priorities so that you can walk in the way that God wants you to and not be so distracted by those? So the question is why? I love to ask the question why. And I think the reason why really goes back to this verse. As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God as the heart of David his father had been. And I'm going to say this, and this is blunt. In the 5 years I've been here, I have seen more than I can count on my hand, students that left here and relationships that they had didn't matter to them. The wisdom that God had in relationships didn't matter, and they are no longer walking with the Lord. So when I say this, I'm not saying this half-hearted. I'm saying this for real, that God is for real about this, and he cares about you. And he doesn't want you to be like Solomon, that in his old age, his wives turns his heart after other gods. God says, I want your heart to be fully devoted to me. And guess what? If you choose right, you will have someone with you that will actually push you towards the Lord and not pull you away. So as a leader and ambassador for Jesus Christ, God wants your first priority to be him. And as you do everything else, God will add all that you need to your life. He will bring it. The second thing that he brings up is in Proverbs 31, 4 through 7. He says this, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. So his mom now moves from, look, relationships can sap your strength. They can kill you from really being the leader that God wants you to be. And then she moves on. She says, alcohol and liquor are not for kings and leaders to take part in. And I think the broader application here is any substance which dulls your senses or clouds the mind is not for those who need to be leading people. So, but the important part of there is if you take that and you could say, I'm not a leader. I'm not an ambassador. And I would go back and I would say, you are. God says you're a royal priesthood. God says you're a king. You're a child of the one true God. God says you are a leader. You are an ambassador in my eyes. And again, if we take this as a whole in scripture, the scripture says, the scripture says, you need to follow the laws of the land. And then second, scripture says, do not get drunk. So am I saying that having any kind of alcohol is wrong? No, I'm not saying that. But what the Kingdom Mule's mother is saying to him here is if you're going to be a leader and there's something that could possibly come this close to clouding your judgment or messing with your mind or leading you astray, Don't go there. Don't touch it. King Lemuel, you are a leader. I need you to be with me. So I want to also say, this can be illegal substances. This can also be legal substances. Just because the government makes it legal doesn't mean it's right, because if it will mess with the ability of your mind to lead well, I believe that that does not make it wise. That does not make it wise. The reality is that substances have control over us, not the other way around. We think that we have control over the things that we do, that we like, alcohol, drugs, but the reality is that they then have control over us. And I would say the same thing could be true for pornography. It doesn't have control. I don't have control over it. It has control over me. And as an ambassador, as a leader, God says, I don't want anything but me to be in control of your life. Ecclesiastes 10, 16 through 17 says, woe to the land whose king was a servant and whose princes feast in the morning. Blessed is the land whose king is of noble birth and whose princes eat at a proper time for strength and not for drunkenness. This is kind of a cool verse to really bring about what is a king supposed to be about? What is a leader supposed to be about? Because what it's saying is this, is that you want the leaders over you to not have clouded judgment, correct? Right? We don't want them. We want them to be thinking straight, to be able to live rightly and to be able to govern wisely. And this, in Ecclesiastes, the book Solomon wrote, he's saying, look, the land whose king is all about feasting, and within feasting, he's talking about drunkenness there and all the things that come with partying. He's saying, woe to that land, because that land does not have a good leader. That land has a place where someone that is all about themselves. And so in the same way for you guys, King the Mule's mom is really kind of speaking to us and saying, as you are, guys are ambassadors and leaders in your school and your home and your teams and all the different places you are, don't let these things have control over you. Don't go around them. They're not for you. They're not the wise thing to do. Isaiah 5, 22 through 23 says, woe to mighty men at drinking wine. Woe to men valiant for mixing intoxicating drink, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away justice from the righteous men. The reality is that, as again, the substances that cloud our mind, they keep us from living as God desires us to, in the way of judging righteously and speaking up for those who need speaking up for. So I'll go on a little bit, because then he says, Proverbs, the next part of it, what King the Mule's mom says is, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. So as a child of the king, as an ambassador for God, you're a light on a hill. That's one of the biggest missions that God has for you on earth, is to stand for justice and righteousness on this earth. Yes, yeah, God has a purpose for each and every one of us in this idea of speaking for those who can't speak for themselves, for standing up for justice. This begins right where you are today. It goes with you as you're going to college, your workplace, your neighborhood, everywhere. This is what Proverbs says about it. Kings detest wrongdoing, for a throne is established through righteousness. As you're a leader, as you are a king, God says, I want you to detest wrongdoing, and I want you to live for righteousness so that you can help those around you. But if the follower of Christ is controlled by a substance which will alter their mind, they will forget and they will pervert justice and righteousness that God wants them to live out. Our minds will not be in a place where they can think, rationalize, and live wisely. So this is the charge that Hosea has against Israel in the book of Israel. He says, they will eat but not have enough. They will engage in prostitution but not flourish, because they have deserted the Lord to give themselves to prostitution. Old wine and new wine take away their understanding. You know, there's a lot of substances, drugs, alcohol, that the world says, it's fine, it's no big deal. Who cares? Everybody else is doing it. Everyone does it at the parties. They do it on TV. They do it in movies. Your friends do it. Who cares? And God's wisdom says, God cares. He cares about your understanding. He cares about the way that you live. So are we allowing any substance to take away our understanding? And ultimately, I think this can then even have a broader application. Are we allowing anything which takes away our understanding and our ability to live wisely and to hear the Spirit? This could go to pornography, video games, computer games, Netflix, sports, really any idol that we have can ultimately kind of cloud our judgment from the understanding that God wants us to have. I'll say this. I'm serious about this. You want to have the ultimate high? You're going to laugh at what I say, but someone said this when we went sharing our faith Wednesday night. You want the ultimate high? Share your faith. Share your faith. Be bold in sharing the gospel. There will be a high that will have no consequences to it. I promise you that. It's something you've never experienced. If you've never experienced it, you won't know what I'm talking about. But the person that said this on Wednesday night, they know what I'm talking about now. So, ultimately, as Moses says, you know what beer and wine are for? Those are for those that are dying. To be able to get their pain away, to not have to worry about it in life because they're dying. But you guys, God says, you got a better purpose. You're an ambassador. You're a son or daughter of King. You're adopted. You're ordained. You have a purpose. And God says, I want more for you. So this, I don't believe that any great movements of God started from a person on any kind of high from any earthly substance, but only a high from the Holy Spirit. Those are where the great movements of God began. And I think you can do that. The last place that his mother ends up in is Proverbs 31:8-9. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all the unfortunate. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the afflicted and the needy. So what are kings? We've talked about two things that kings and leaders shouldn't do. They shouldn't even come close to substances because they could, if even come close to messing with our way to judge, we should get rid of them. We should watch out for relationships because relationships can sap our strength. We should be wise about our relationships. Those are two things we shouldn't do. What should we do? We should speak up for those that cannot speak up for themselves, for those who have not been blessed as equally as you. Maybe some of those that aren't in the kingdom of God and don't know that they're a son or daughter of the one true king. God wants us to speak up for them. There's some that, just in an earthly sense, they don't have the same things we have. They're picked on by others. God says, I want you to speak up for those because of who you are, because you're a leader, because you're a king. Act on behalf of the oppressed. Judge righteously, not as the world sees it, but as God sees justice. Judge and act on truth. Judge and act on God's truth. What does God's truth say? Not what the world says. What is God's truth? Well, I take that, well, I understand that, so that I can live righteously to that, so I can judge the way people live, not in a bad way, but in a way to go, that's not God's word. I can love them. I can speak for them. God says, I want you to defend those who cannot defend themselves. In a lot of ways, the world is looking to take advantage of those who cannot defend themselves. And God says, I want you to speak up and defend those who can't defend themselves. Here's the example in the Bible of a man who was seeking to do right. It's the man Jonathan. Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul, his father. So Saul was Jonathan's father and said to him, Saul wanted to kill David. And he said, let not the king do wrong to his servant David. He has not wronged you. And what has he done? And what he has done has benefited you greatly. He took his life in his hands when he killed the Philistine. The Lord won a great victory for all of Israel. And you saw it and were glad. Why then would you do wrong to an innocent man like David by killing him for no reason? I know right now, I bet you almost all of you can think of someone in your school, in your neighborhood, around you, that nobody else speaks up for. Maybe it's because of the decisions they've made in your school, and everybody says, that girl's a whore. That happens, I know that. Maybe that's the person that God wants you to speak up for. Maybe people say, that person's a homosexual. And I don't want to be around them. And God says, will you love them? He says, that's okay. You can hate, you don't have to approve of the sin, but you can love the person. You can be with them. God's saying, will you speak up? Will you love those around you that the world won't love, that the world won't take? So are we doing for the least of these what we would do for someone who can benefit us? Leviticus 19:15 says this, do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. God's saying, will you do for the least of these among you? Do we care about justice for those who have no means to defend themselves? Proverbs 29:7 says, the righteous care about justice for the poor, but the wicked have no concern. So I'm gonna kind of end with this. Be passionate about something that matters. Be passionate about something that matters. And the things that matter are the things of God because they're eternal. So be an ambassador for the Lord as a child of the King, as one chosen by God. Be passionate about things that the world's passionate about. But the cool thing is, you know, you could be passionate about social justice like sex trafficking. But the difference between believers and the world can be passionate about things, and we can go with them and say, you know what, I'll be passionate with you about sex trafficking. But the difference is, you get to, as a Christian, you get to bring in eternal hope. Not just hope on this earth, but eternal hope. And so God's saying, be passionate about me for things that really matter. Be passionate about something. As followers of Christ, this is just a mission to put out there. As followers of Christ, let's not let the world be social justice warriors, which only have an impact on this earth. But instead, let's be social justice warriors who can have an impact on eternity as we're passionate about the things that God cares about. So I'm going to end with this verse. Matthew 5:13-16 says this: "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You, each of you here, are light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your truth, God, that you bring, and I know it speaks to me today. God, but the truth is that you've called me a son of God. I'm an ambassador for you. God, you have given me a great purpose. And I pray, God, if there's someone in this room that is believing the lies, God, that they have no purpose, the lies of Satan, that they're not worth anything, God, I pray that they will take your truth on today, those verses that we started with. And God, for those in this room that maybe they believe those things, but God, then there's things that are clouding their judgment. God, they're allowing relationships to be higher than you. Lord, I pray that today, by your Spirit's help, God, would you change that? Would you mold that? And then, God, would you lead each of us here in this room, God, to care about the things that matter, that are eternal things, about you, Lord, and sharing your truth and loving those around us so that we have a chance to share the gospel with them. So, God, change our lives. Lord, give us purpose. Let something cool start here today as we take this wisdom on being leaders for you in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.